You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
This music can mean only one thing. It is Friday, and the kid is in the studio. But we've been graced with his presence for the entire 2 hours, so we were in luck on this Friday today. And I will bring again in our producer, Jason Gibbs, to bring on the Friday forecast.
Number one
today, guys. Who's the number one wide receiver in this year's draft?
My opinion, there's no question. It's Amari Cooper. I think history repeats itself. And while you watch some of Alabama's players flame out in the pros, Julio Jones, star in the pros, Amari Cooper's next in line. I'm going Amari Cooper.
I'm agreeing, but I could be open to the possibility that Kevin White will go ahead of him in the draft just because of the upside and the size. But Amari Cooper is NFL ready right now. He was maybe a year ago, just the most polished route runner out there. I keep comparing him to Chad Johnson when Chad Johnson was in his prime, because he's not the biggest guy, but he's going to get open on short routes and long routes.
I'm going to go with Kevin White being the best wide receiver. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper being the most NFL-ready wide receiver, and I just have an inclination that if Devontae Parker ends up in Minnesota, that he will be the best of all three.
Number two
today, guys. If you were the commissioner, what would you do with the extra point? Would you change it? Get rid of it? What would you do?
What I would do, and I don't know that it's really feasible, but I would have the uprights moving from left to right, so it depends. So they're going back and forth, so you got to time
it
out.
It's like a kiddie game.
Yeah, it's like a kiddie game. I mean, let's do something fun. I mean, it's boring right now.
The NFL's struggling with the idea of putting in goal line cameras. How are you expecting this? I don't know how you even start.
I'm just saying that if I'm the commissioner.
Oh, okay.
I'm in favor of moving it to the one-yard line, and that because I want to see more two-point conversions. I think if they move the extra point back for like a 35-yard field goal, I'm still bored, and then most of those kicks are going to be made anyway, so I want whatever is going to induce more two-point conversions, and I think that's moving it to the one.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist. I kind of like it the way it is. I'd rather have it be a boring play. I know everybody wants to see more points. I could understand, you know, why you'd want to see a play run from the one-yard line, because there's nothing better than a goal line stand when you get to see four from the one, you know, when they hold them. So, it's just very tough. And I think I'd like to see nothing change.
I agree with you. Are we overthinking something?
We are.
Are we overthinking things?
And
the one
thing that a lot of people are discounting is, and there's many coaches on every staff, and there's actually guys hired to be on staff simply to do the analytics associated with situational football. And I think if we saw more two-point conversions, you'd see a heck of a lot more teams have that analytical guy about the breakdown of points, because then, you know, and also, too, how would that affect gambling? You know, to go from seven points to an 8 points almost, you know, 60 to 70% of the time.
It's all about the gambling, Gibbsy.
Allegedly.
Number 3.
Number 3 today, guys. Mel Kiper yesterday on the teleconference said if Cardale Jones came out in this year's draft, he'd be a second round pick. But if he waits a year, he'd be a top 10 pick. Where would you take Cardale if he had come out this season?
I would take him. That's about right. I would say either a second round pick, maybe a little. It's a little bit high for the Browns at the top of the second round, but mid second round. But the only thing I'll say about him being a first round pick next year, that's if he's the starting quarterback next year. How is his stock going to go up if he's on the bench?
See, my thing is, I agree that I valued him. I would value him as a second round pick, but I don't see any situation, if he were in this year's draft class, that he wouldn't go anywhere but in the first round. I think that people would have viewed so much upside on him, and there would have been
the
a
hype.
Team using him, using a first round pick
and
on him. I don't see how that wouldn't have happened.
And the Cleveland Browns with two picks might be a likely place where he could end
could
up.
Could you imagine
seeing one as a discount?
Could you imagine the calls us and every sports talk station in town would be getting if Cardale Jones was in this draft?
Crazy. And again, the one thing I wrote down when you guys were answering your question is that just goes to show our opening point talking about the quarterback position, and you said they don't grow on trees. And it just goes to show that someone who is big in stature, showed that he has a big arm, and played his best football on the brightest stage, even though 12 weeks prior, he was the third guy on the roster. Just goes to show how desperate this league is for a quality quarterback. And when one guy shows a flash of greatness, how we could go from third string on a top five program in the country to a first round draft.
And I think that small sample size would have worked to his advantage. It's almost like
no doubt.
It's almost like a player at the combine running a good 40 and then not having to run it as pro day. He would have stuck with those three games, and I think there would have been teams worried about the lack of experience. But then at the same time, they just saw so much good in those three games where I think he would have been a mid to late first.
Let's hope he gets his degree, though, because that's the reason he's coming back to the Ohio State.
I'm going
to
add a question in here since this is Cleveland Buckeye Central. Who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes next year?
I think Cardale Jones will get the ball, and the old tendencies of which locked him in as a third-string quarterback will start coming out, to Andrew Gribble's point. The more exposure he gets in a game, that it's going to be JT Barrett.
No chance of Braxton Miller, I think.
No, and I don't think Braxton Miller might be out of football in a year.
I think that, I don't know if you saw the thing about they're looking into – you know, that he took endorsement money or something.
Oh, yeah, from Advocare.
Call me a cynic, but if there's no JT Barrett and no Cardale Jones on that squad, I don't think Ohio State's looking so hard into those charges.
No, they're really not. And I think also, too, I want to state this one thing in the Friday forecast, that all three of these at the helm at quarterback for Ohio State would all beat Michigan. I just want to throw that out there and make sure that's very clear.
You know what? I'm going to do like Jim Harbaugh's doing right now. You notice he's being real quiet.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have the horses. But when he gets the horses, you better believe he's going to be talking some trash.
And we'll finally compete again.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Gibbsy.
Number four. Question number four today. 4 of 5. Will Tiger Woods play in the Masters next week? Our good friend Stan from Brooklyn called us, and he goes, I got a question for the forecast. Will Tiger Woods play in the Masters? And if he plays in the Masters, will he make the cut?
I don't think he's going to play. I think if he was going to play, he would have played in Arnold Palmer's tournament. He's not coming back his first tournament as the Masters. It pains me. I'm a Tiger apologist.
Me too.
And it pains me, but I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think he will, but at the same time, he's such a confident guy. Even though he would set himself up for another potential early exit, that the ego might drive him to be at that Masters, but he's got to have enough people in his ear telling him, you know, you've come back too soon too many times. You got to wait this one out, or that could be a wrap.
It must be something about this chair and being the host to completely go against both of you. I think that he does play. He will definitely play. His ego is too big. The exposure is too great for his brand. But he will still be just a flash of what we used to see, and he will not make the cut.
It's going to be, if this trend continues, this is going to be the greatest 30 for 30 potentially ever. The just what has happened to Tiger Woods. I mean, yeah. it's 30 for 90. It's just astonishing. It's sad.
It is.
Number five. Final question today, guys. This is a good one. University of Kentucky starting five. We're not talking about Kentucky as a team. You take the Kentucky starting five and you start them against the starting five of the Philadelphia 76ers or the New York Knicks. 5-on-5, that's it. Can UK beat one of those two starting fives?
They could, but I don't see it happening.
I think you're out of your mind.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you this. KU doesn't even start their five best players because their backup guards, at least one of them is better than one of the Harrisons. So I don't think that there's a chance. I mean, let's read off. So who's the starting five for the Philadelphia 76ers? I don't even know.
Exactly. Let me look. Hold on.
I got the Knicks up here right now.
All right, give me the Knicks.
You got a guy named Shved.
Shved, they say, make it a max contract.
Langston Galloway.
Hey.
Lou Amundsen.
Hey.
Andrea Bargnani. And Lance Thomas.
Okay, I'm going to take that back.
See?
I think
I get it. I am the one guy that truly always says there's no way a college team could beat a pro team. But if you just take the starting five and go 5-on-5, all five of these guys are going to be first round picks.
See, yeah, they could. I don't know that they would, but they could.
If the Knicks are fully motivated. That's the big thing with the NBA. If this team is fully motivated and it's on a neutral court, I'm taking the Knicks by double digits.
And I am as well, to close that out. I think there's no way. And my point is, as I made it earlier, that as good as Kentucky is right now, they're playing against other college athletes. They're not playing against professionals.
Yeah, but
and how hard is it?
Game, they're so much better than college athletes.
Ole Miss took Kentucky to overtime in Rupp. I just think there's vulnerabilities there.
And again, I mean, half these guys on the Kentucky roster won't even play a season in the NBA.
I don't know about that.
And you guys are all home running them like every one of them is going to be, you know, a lottery draft pick in the next
years. All five are going to go in the first round.
Good. And two of them will play. The other three, you won't know their name in 5 years.
That's an interesting bet.
Allegedly.
Great question.
Is that it for the Friday forecast?
76ers, by the way, starting lineup. Isaiah Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Richardson.
Yep.
Nerlens Noel.
Couldn't cover
Jakar Sampson. And Luke Richard Mbamute.
They would not beat that roster because that roster, just think about the way those guys were in college also. Nerlens Noel was as good in college, and now he's had.
I think it's a good game down to the wire.
Now, the Knicks starting lineup is way worse than the Sixers right now.
It is. They're both abysmal.
I mean, granted, this was a different Cavs team, but the 76ers beat the Cavs. I mean, and we're saying that they would lose to Kentucky?
I don't think so.
I just don't think so.
Fluke.
All right, Gibbs. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys.
We're going to grab our last break, and we'll come back. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Your last chance to join Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You can tweet the show @Browns_daily. Last chance, last segment, right after this.